Bees understand emotion. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Our thought for today is that bees understand emotion. This is our thought for today, that bees understand emotion. The thought for today is bees understand emotion. And truly, bees do understand emotion. We had a special little bush in which the bees had their hive, right at the edge of the road where we turned to go along our path. And at a certain season of the year, the bees would gather in that bush and have their annual meeting. And we would go by, and in our singing and talking and dogging and walking, we would disturb the bees, apparently. And so they would come and buzz around us and say, "Get lost. No one's allowed at this meeting but us bees." And so we would quickly run away with our hands flapping around our faces and encouraging the bees not to light there. And most of the time they didn't. They'd love to go for your hair. They'd love to go. And of course, I cut my hair off then. And then they didn't go for my hair anymore. But bees know emotion. Now, when you get frustrated and get upset, the bees will chase after you because it's fun. Now, dogs do the same thing. When you get all excited about something, the dogs start dancing and jumping around saying, "I want to be excited too. I like being excited. Being excited is fun." But you see, we think we're excited because of emotion, our unhappiness or running away from bees or something, whereas a dog only sees it as a joy. At the time of jumping up and down and saying hi and saying, "Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, it's fun time, you know, time to play." And he does it. I go in the house sometimes and I'll say to Rex, "Rex, I love you." And he looks up at me and wags his tail, and he wags it so hard that his whole body spins in a circle, and he spins in a circle, and then he runs in a circle, and then the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He's running around the room, he's leaping over the furniture, and he's a whole three-ring circus in one. An amazing guy. Now, that's what you're saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you," you know, with all my heart, of course. And he just ate it up. Well, now the bees do the same thing. The bees sense our emotions. Now, this morning at the table, we always have bees flying around our table at breakfast and at lunch and at supper as we eat outside, because they just love the fragrance of the many wonderful things that we put on the table and the smiling, happy people that are around the table. Well, this morning I was upset with some of the people here because they were not apparently admitting to knowing something, and one of them had to know it because one of them had to have done it. But what each of these people does do here on campus is that they work in incognito. They work and they forget that they're working. Anita is so happy doing her work. She's working along and doing things, and she hasn't the slightest idea what she's doing. She knows she's doing the right thing because that's what she aimed herself at, like dusting the windows and dusting the things and then painting them. But now if you asked her, did she paint that portion of the window, she'd have to go take a look and see, because she did it unconsciously. Now, we all do things unconsciously. Sylvia says, in the morning sometimes when she gets up, she wonders, now, did she take her vitamins or didn't she? You know? And I never have that problem because I set them out, and if they're not there, I took them. And if they're there, I didn't take them. Well, now, but how do you know that? Because every evening I set them out. Well, what if you forget some evening? Well, if you go to bed and forgot, then one day without vitamins is not going to kill me. But at least I have a general practice. I have general habits that I like to follow. But even so, those habits, like I say with my dog, if I don't put his little cup of oatmeal next to his bowl, I won't remember to fill his bowl with food and give it to him, because he's already eaten. So every time after he eats, I wash his bowl, I wash the oatmeal cup, and I I set the oatmeal cup next to his bowl, and then, whoops, I haven't fed him yet. No, I know that, because I just finished washing him. But I know that I haven't given him his lunch at lunchtime, because the cup is there. And so when I give him his lunch, I pour the cup into his bowl, and I put the bowl on the floor for him, and I put the cup in the sink. And so when the cup is washed and ready again, it's back up there. That means he hasn't been fed. But that means for the next meal. So those are just little clues to help us with our short-term memory. But we love it. I love it. This morning, I was shaking my finger at everybody saying, now someone fess up. Who did it? Who knows about this? Who knows? Some of you know. Somebody did it. Well, it happened to have been Anita who did it, but she didn't remember doing it because she did it while she was sleepwalking. And she had dusted off the top of the outdoor, what do you call it?
Frame.
Yeah, there you go. The outdoor frame for the window and the door. And above it, we had this indoor-outdoor temperature thermometer thing. And it sends a code into the house to go on the one inside. And it works very well. And we've been getting this for years and years and years. We've been figuring out, knowing what the temperature is and inside and outside. We thought, gee, this is pretty good. We don't even know where the outside temperature gadget is. And we searched for it, and we searched for it, and we searched for it for a couple of years. Well, then Anita comes along and dusts the top of the frame. And there was that thing. And she took it down just as a matter of habit. And dusted it off, and then painted the window, and then didn't put it back because it was drying. But I saw it, and I said, hey, there it is. Now, I really should say, okay, let's put a new battery in there, too. It's probably about time for it. But they have a long life, and it's a wonderful thing. We do these things. Well, I was arguing around, saying, who did this? Who did this? Now, and I was being very tough and very, very bombastic about it. And so I was pointing my fingers, and just at that moment, a bee lit on the bottom of my finger, and my finger under the finger under which he had lit on the bottom of it, I brought it up, and I pressed him a little bit. He says, you squeezed me! And so then he gave me a little sting on my finger. And so I said, what is this that I'm doing? You know, bees do understand emotions. And he didn't like that at all. He says, Herb, you are unconditional love. Now knock it off. Don't go being so bombastic. Don't go being so disgusting. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, that's no excuse. And so Sylvia comes dashing up with her medical knowledge, and she takes a sliced lemon, and she puts it on the place where the bee stung me. And then she rubs it around down there and rubs it around a little bit. And then she looks at it and she says, I don't see any bee stinger in there. And I said, well, of course not. And so now, wherever it was, you see, it's already gone. Or maybe it was the stinger. Maybe it was that. Huh? I don't know.
Which,
wherever it was, it ain't now. But you see, we don't have to inveigle the emotions of our flying insect friends and what have you. We don't do it. Because you see, here on campus, we are rather strange people. We have 104 acres of unconditional love. And this 104 acres of unconditional love is guarded, lived with. Well, we who live here are unconditional love. And so we see some little creature that's flying along, and instead of stomping on it and disposing of it and keeping it from having any progeny, so it's going to have more and more little creatures, we just gently pick it up and take it outside and say, whew, on your way. You know, and rather than in the house where he said, bam, you know, where we think he shouldn't be. Now, what kind of love is that going to bring? What kind of response is that going to bring? That's going to bring the response that says, hey, we don't kill things around here. people come on our property sometimes with rifles and guns. Only once or twice I saw them. And I said to them, "Hi, what are you up to?" "Oh, we're hunting." I said, "What are you hunting?" "Rabbits." I said, "Gee, that's interesting." I said, "You know, this acreage here, this is all a reserve. It's a preserve for animals. Animals can live here, including humans, you know, without any thought of any anxiety going on." "Well, we're not anxiety. We like hunting." "Well, right over there, that's the edge of our property, and that's BLM land. You can do as you wish over there. But I can tell you one thing. All the critters on the thousands and thousands of square miles of BLM land have been trained by us. And they have been trained that whenever anyone comes along who has anxiety in their heart toward them, they instantly become invisible." So if you wonder where the critters have gone, is that you have come upon them with anxiety in your heart, with anger, anguish. You want to shoot them, you want to do something silly to them, which is of no count. And so they just become invisible. Now you watch. If you come on this land again, or on the BLM land around here again, ever again, if you come on here, then if you ever go hunting anywhere else in the world, all of the critters will be invisible to you, because they've learned from your association. You see, this is an infectious disease, and any person who comes on this property gets that infectious disease. Then they, wherever they go, all of the critters that they have anxiety toward, or they want to shoot or something, becomes invisible. Now, wouldn't that be interesting if we could have all of the troops train here on our property for, or just walk through the property for, you know, what a mess, you know, thousands of people. Of course, and then they go to war and they wouldn't see any enemy. They would never see anyone to shoot. And they would never have an aggressive instrument in their arms. None of them on either side. And you say, well, how do they get rid of their aggressive? They go out and start digging the soil. And they go out and start planting plants and planting trees around the world. They go out and start swimming with the whales and swimming with the dolphins. Ellen says, well, we're going to take a trip and we're going to go swim with the dolphins. And she says, and if the water's cold, I don't want to go in. And I thought to myself, silly, silly, silly. You want to swim with the dolphins. You're not swimming in the water. You're swimming with the dolphins. You don't even know the temperature of the water. If you fell in the water and all of a sudden an alligator appeared in front of you, you'd be out of that water before you even know you were wet. You know what I mean? And so it's all a mental thing. And this mental attitude that we have. But I like that idea very much. I think that's one I'm going to promote to the Pentagon. That they have all of their marching forces. Of course, they wouldn't do that. Then they'd be out of a job. But all of their marching forces march through our BLM land anywhere. That goes for BLM land anywhere, Bureau of Land Management property, anywhere in the United States. And there are billions of acres of BLM land all over the United States. And any military person, well, any person really, but any person who walks on those grounds, any person, they abhor weapons of every kind. And they have no desire to ever handle them, to play, not even guns and, bow and arrows, not even things that children play with and toys. Children's toys no longer, they can no longer sell the violent children's toys because nobody buys them, you know? Because the world is a world of peace, where we teach peace-loving activities. And the bees are certainly one of the first. They just say, hey, we're having a conference here, let us alone. Or they're saying, hey, we got a table full of goodies here, let us investigate. And, you know, as the bees walk over our food, do you ever think of their carrying dirty feet?
No.
When a fly walks over, you think they're carrying dirty feet. No. When a mosquito walks over, you think they're carrying dirty feet. You see, whatever you think. So don't think that. If a rat would walk over your table, would you think it had dirty feet? No. You know? What's the name of that show? Ratatouille?
Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm. And in there, all those mice, they did good things in that restaurant, didn't they? They served great meals, really. The chef's delight. Well, these are things that are important for us to realize. And I say, as of today, let all of us who hear this, and if you're out there by the millions and billions, but all of us who hear this, let's realize that all government-owned land anywhere in the world, we put a hex on it. Just start it and close it. We put a hex on it. And the hex is that every single person who walks on that government land for any purpose, or even thinks about it, loses all interest in violence, loses all interest in war, loses all interest in anything negative. It is fantastic. And that's our life. And that's our world. And that's who we are. So, have a lovely day, and be careful that your feet don't touch the BLM land, because if they do, go ahead. If they do, then that's life.
But end a minute.
Have a nice day, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
So.